What's up? Welcome to the Sports Sidebar Podcast. You're tuning in with your boy Rich, and I'm here with my buddies Tom and JD, and we're about to get this thing started. Let's go! All right, ladies and gentlemen, we got a brand new episode for everybody. We're at 175. How's everybody doing tonight?
Doing good, Rich. How you doing?
Well, fantastic, man. Looking forward to this NFL draft coming up. Hopefully, the Giants do get me somewhat excited about the season. Otherwise, I'm gonna just put in my Cincinnati Bengals papers.
But part of me always, you know, longs for the old days of the, you know, I think it was 2 days of draft, Saturday, Sunday, and it would just start Saturday at noon, and it would go through, you know, until late Saturday, and then, you know, you got like the last couple of rounds on Sunday, or it might have even been
Friday.
Saturday. No, it was never Friday. It was always Saturday. It was, in 2005 or 2006, whenever the Jets drafted DeBrickashaw, when we were at UMass, I remember it being Saturday morning or Saturday, you know, whatever.
Oh, all day Saturday.
Yeah.
I think now they just do the first round Friday.
And then... Yeah. First round's Thursday, second and third round or Friday, and then the rest on Saturday. But it's always just kind of a cool thing to just go on all day Saturday. You know, springtime, so you're outside, you can kind of bop in and out. You know, now, you know, we're talking about, you could probably throw it up on the TV outside and sit outside and, you know, water your grass, cut your grass, whatever you're doing, pop in, pop out. But it is what it is.
Yeah, but I think they separated to just to get the more coverage.
Yeah, for sure.
And then also, I think people really didn't want to be there all day.
Yeah. Oh no, I agree.
So, I'm definitely looking forward to it, just to see where some of these quarterbacks go. And then, like I said, man, I don't know what the Giants are going to do, man. I mean, since we're talking about the NFL, let's get into it, man. We got the NFL coming up. We're gonna NFL draft coming up, so we're gonna give you our mock draft picks 1 through 14. The first pick, go ahead, player.
All right, first pick in the 2024 NFL draft, Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams. I think this is really just a no-brainer at this point. I'm not sold on him personally, but my vote doesn't matter. But you know, I think that he's the most talented quarterback in the draft. I just again question these guys that may have ulterior motives, you know what I mean? Like, may not be all about football. So, but again, he has the passing skill set that, you know, the Bears have longed for. So, I think it's the right move.
Yeah, I think that's what they do as well. I'm still like, I'm with you on that, man. I'm not really sold on him. He doesn't strike me as the leader when it comes to being the quarterback. But I don't know, man. I mean, he's getting too many comparisons to Patrick Mahomes. I mean, you can't go wrong with that. But I don't know, man. Something seems off with him. And then with the second pick in the NFL draft, Washington Commanders, they're gonna take Drake May.
Okay.
I think they take Drake May over Jaden Daniels just because they're not as sold on Daniels. There's rumors coming out about how Daniels didn't like the meetings with the Commanders. The Commanders do have a whole new ownership team, and I think they're looking to do some different things. I think the comparisons for Drake May to Josh Allen is kind of more enticing to them compared to the Jaden Daniels to Lamar Jackson. But I mean, they can go either way. But I think this is when things start to get shaken up in the draft.
Yeah, you know, I know we're not doing trades in this, you know. Is a place where Washington may trade back to someone who wants to jump in and maybe go for like a JJ McCarthy or Michael Penix or something like that. So we'll see. I think Drake May is probably the safer pick out of Drake May and Jaden Daniels. I would probably go Jaden Daniels myself if I was them. Again, I do not have a vote, but yeah, I think he's tall. He's got a good arm. He throws over the middle well. He's everything you kind of want in a modern day quarterback. So
yeah, he's more of the prototypical build.
So. Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, with that pick, we'll go at number three. We have the Patriots, who are also looking for a franchise quarterback, and I have them going J.J. McCarthy, Michigan.
Oh, wow. Skipping over Jaden Daniels?
Okay. Yeah, I think they want Drake May, and I think if Washington goes Drake May, they probably try to trade down and get J.J. McCarthy and maybe some more draft capital. But for the sake of this, I think there's just been a lot of smoke with him and the Patriots. And you know, I don't know. He just seems like I know it's a different regime there in New England, but he seems like the Patriot type player, real gritty, knows the game well, tough, kind of that kind of a guy. I don't know. Jaden Daniels is, I think, more talented. But again, you know, is the discipline there. And I know Mayo's already talking about stuff like that. So, I'm going to go J.J. McCarthy to the Patriots.
Man, they're shaking up the draft right now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sold on J.J. I don't know what the Patriots are doing either way. But I do feel like picks 3, 4, 3, 4, and 5, these are probably where we're going to see teams move up and jump. Because these teams are probably looking to get more draft picks, more draft capital. So, But man, you do me my if the draft shakes up how we predicting, I'm gonna be glued watching this, man. And then with the fourth pick, I mean, this is a no brainer. We got the Arizona Cardinals. They select Marvin Harrison Jr., one of the top receivers in the draft. People were saying he'd probably be the number one pick as far as receiver coming out last year. Didn't really do any workouts. People were just kind of betting on him picking him based off the tape. And his tape does deliver. Mm-hmm. You know, definitely a number one receiver. Definitely Cardinals need a number one receiver. They've been struggling to find a number one receiver ever since, Antoine Bolden and Larry Fitzgerald were there. But, I mean, hopefully this helps him move in the right direction.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's a no-brainer. He's a bigger, you know, fast receiver, good hands. It's tough. I think Harrison and Malik Nabers probably sitting there 1-2 in the wide receiver world. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Cardinals need a wide receiver. Marvin Harrison fits the bill.
Oh yeah.
All right. Well, number five, Los Angeles Chargers select Malik Nabers, LSU wide receiver. So again, similar to the Cardinals, who had some guys leaving the offseason. The Chargers had both Keenan Allen and Mike Williams depart. So they need a new wide receiver one for Justin Herbert. And Jim Harbaugh is going to jump in here and grab a talented, fast, big Malik Nabers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's been getting a bunch of different comparisons. The interesting one, I thought, was to
Waddle.
Yeah, he's gonna get some comparisons to Waddle as far as his speed. I mean, we've seen what he's been doing in the NFL. We just been having issues, you know, staying healthy. So, like you said, man, the Chargers are in desperate need for a receiver here. They got to find somebody that can open up and hit some explosive plays, help the quarterback out. I'm interested to see how they build this team as well.
I am too.
Because I mean, they had a lot of talent. They just couldn't figure things out. Now they got the right coach in place. I'm interested to see, you know, what direction he goes in as far as, is this more of a run team, or they're going to air it out, or and then defensively, that they have a lot of defensive players that were, I want to say, in the mix for some of the top defensive players, but, you know, coming out the draft, but it seems like they can't stop a nosebleed over there. So,
yeah, this is true. This is true.
Now with the sixth pick, New York Giants. Select Jaden Daniels has fallen. We're gonna pick him up. They're gonna select Jaden Daniels from quarterback from LSU, man.
I was wondering if you were gonna go there.
As much as I want a receiver, I mean, you got to at this point. There's no telling when you're gonna be in a position to get a top quarterback again. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy, he previously won the Heisman at LSU. The year before that, he was in at Arizona with your boy Herm. So I mean, he's been in some pro systems. I mean, he knows what it takes. I mean, I'm also hearing rumors that the Raiders like him as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if they jumped up ahead of the Giants to go get him. If he fell, so I mean, he gives you the dual threat running and passing. But honestly, we're still gonna need some receivers, man.
Oh yeah, No, I think if he's there, Giants have no choice but to take him. Yeah, I mean, like you said, I think that's more of a calculated risk than going with like a Rome Odunze from Washington or a Brock Bauer or something like that. So I like going quarterback there. All right, well, number 7, Tennessee Titans select tackle Joe Alt. I think it's really kind of an easy decision for Tennessee. I think their line has slowly been kind of depleting over time. You had Lawan retire, some other exits out of Tennessee. You got Will Levis back there. He's going to need some time, some help. So I like them drafting a tackle here, and I think Joe Alt's the best in the class.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you right there. It seems like the Titans are trying to figure some things out. I mean, they think they have the quarterback. One of their offensive line was one of the worst in the league last year, despite them having Derrick Henry still running wild. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, he's not there anymore. They got two kind of running backs that are the same. So it's going to be interesting to see, that backfield. But as far as the quarterback, I mean, he's going to need time to get the ball out to some of those weapons that they got out there. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they're probably still going to finish last in the division, but. And at number 8, we got the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, they did a great job on picking up some pieces, whether it be quarterback and some other pieces during the offseason. So the one area they didn't address, I think they're going to go Dallas Turner, edge rusher from Alabama, man.
Mm.
It's probably one of the best pass rushers in the draft. I mean, Alabama, they just kick them out every year, man. They always got one or two guys in the mix. This guy gets to the quarterback, very instinctive. He's all over the place. And it's kind of what their defense needs. They weren't really able to stop many people or get to the quarterback at all last year. Defense was kind of in the middle of a pack. Offensively, they're going to be great, with their quarterback and all the weapons they have. So they're just going to need somebody to stop the other team. So,
yep. No, I like that pick. I think I probably would have went last two out of UCLA. But yeah, I could hard to knock Dallas Turner out of Alabama. He was one of the top edge defenders in college football last year. So. Yeah, I think Atlanta needs to address the defensive side of the ball, and this is a way to start that. All right, well, number 9, Bears picking again. Let's go Rome Odunze, wide receiver, Washington. So I think that, I know they got some weapons there in Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. So I do like them getting a little bit younger there and throwing Odunze on there. Pair him up with Caleb Williams, and you may have a good 1-2 punch here for many years to come. Honestly, if Odunze is still here, I'm guessing the Bears will probably take some calls on this pick. But again, for the sake of this and not trading out, I like them to take Odunze here.
Yeah, if I'm the Bears, I'm definitely going Odunze. Kind of gives them a kind of Bengal-ish type offense where, the Bengals had Higgins, Chase, and Boyd. But now you got DJ Moore, Allen, and then Odunze. Odunze is beginning comparisons to Jamar Chase. I don't know. I can't say he's quite there on Chase's level. But as far as him being physical, big physical receiver, one of those receivers that if you throw it up, he's going to go get it. So, I mean, definitely, that's definitely something you can't go wrong with.
Right.
And the fact that not many receivers get picked compared to Jamar Chase, this is probably one of the few we've seen in a while. You definitely can take that risk, especially that you have those other two receivers there.
Yep, 100%.
And with the 10th pick, we got the New York Jets, the J-E-T-S, Jets. We're a little upset that Odunze just left, but another option out there. Got a guy by the name of Brock Bowers, tight end from Georgia. I mean, he's probably the best tight end in the draft. Getting a lot of comparisons to actually not being a tight end, probably one of the, I don't know how to put it, but kind of a wide receiver that's big like a tight end. We've seen him in Georgia. They've been putting him out in different formations, out in the slot. They've been moving him in. And Georgia wasn't really the most passing team, but I mean, he was putting up numbers there. So, I mean, he's been coveted since he was since he got there. I think this is great for the Jets. Gives you guys another person to throw to. I feel like you guys are just missing that secondary receiver, whether it be a receiver or a tight end, somebody to help Rodgers out and the other receiving core to put up some numbers.
Yep. No, I agree. I think they'd like to draft a wide receiver here, but if Brock Bowers is there, he will act as a wide receiver. I like the pick. I'm not sure how good he is at blocking, but we do got some other bigger boys on that line. So I like Brock Bowers there at 10. All right, at number 11, Minnesota Vikings select
nobody.
Let's go Terrion Arnold, cornerback, Alabama. I think that they probably still try to trade up and get a quarterback, but you know, it's tough to let the top cornerback in the draft fall. I think that their last year, their defense definitely could have used a little bit of help on the outside. I like them to, you know, probably trade up and look for a quarterback. But if not, Terry Arnold's there. I think they go cornerback.
The Vikings are one of those teams I think that are going to move up into that 3, 4, 5 range to try to get their quarterback or to try to get their quarterback. That seems like the only part that's been missing for them since, Cousins was gone. They got a lot to figure out at that position. I mean, they got one of the top receivers in the game. They got another young receiver, Addison, who had a good year. They are figuring out the running back position. And then defensively, they've been off and on defensively, but, that's something they're definitely going to need to build on, since they lost the Neil Hunter and then some other pieces.
Yep.
Then with the number 12 pick, we got the Denver Broncos, and they're going to reach here, and they're going to draft Bo Nick, quarterback from Oregon, man. To be honest, I think he's more of a late first-round pick. But I think the Broncos are desperate. They lost Russell Wilson. Their offense is anemic. They do have some pieces, though, whether it be Williams at running back, then the receivers. But, I mean, the quarterback position seemed like that's what really let them down last year. But, I mean, to be honest, no matter what they pick, they're still going to be in the bottom of the division, man.
Yep. No, I'm with you. I think they need to probably go quarterback here. Again, this is a spot where they potentially could try to trade up. New England doesn't like their guy at 3, but yeah, I think they're looking at quarterback in this spot here. All right, at 13, we got the Las Vegas Raiders selecting Michael Penix, quarterback, Washington. Again, this is another team I think could potentially trade up, but they're gonna be looking for a quarterback. I think they have Minshew right now is their quarterback. Again, Minshew's good at, I think, in small doses. I don't think he's going to – he's not the long-term solution there. So I think that they can get a guy who came off a really, high-end season at Washington. And he was awesome in the game against Texas, just like dropping balls left and right. Like, he was so good in that game. And I think that boosts his draft stock up. So I'm going to go with Michael Penix here at 12 to the – or at 13 to the Raiders.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting, man, especially the Raider culture. I mean, the only thing that let them down last year was the quarterback. So, I mean, if they have a quarterback that can not turn over the ball, get into the weapons, whether it be Adams or they lost to the running back.
Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, Jacobs. Every time I think of him, I think of Ruggs for some reason. I don't know why. But yeah, so I mean, they're gonna have some stuff to figure out, but I think quarterback is gonna be their main piece. That seems like that's been A lot of these teams this year has been struggling to find a quarterback, man. That's been hurting forever. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's great when you get them. It's great. It's hard when you don't, man. So, hopefully Pierce can move up and try to get this quarterback. If not, then, I mean, they're going to have to just try to build it another way, man.
For sure.
And then with the 14th pick, we got the New Orleans Saints. Now, it's going a few ways here, man. I was thinking they want to go defense, but I'm going to spice it up, man. I'm going to give them Brian Thomas Jr., man, wide receiver at LSU, man.
Yep.
To go with Olave, man. Two nice young receivers. Hopefully your boy Carr can not turn over the ball. You know, they can run it with Kamara. And then, I mean, their defense has been in the mix. So they were in position to win the division last year. Probably will be in the division, the running to win it this year as well. Because there's no real clear-cut winner in that division. So, yeah.
I like it. I think that division's always a little interesting, and it gives Derek Carr, you know, someone else to throw to. I think this draft is going to be all about the quarterback. A lot of these guys are going to go in the first, you know, 15 picks here. So, hard to disagree. He doesn't have to be the top receiver, but I think with Olave there, but I think he's he'd be in a good spot.
Well, yeah, especially since they lost Michael Thomas. So, that concludes our mock draft for the first lottery, man. Lottery picks.
There we go.
And then on to the NBA. We got NBA playoffs in full effect right now. I mean, right now we got the Pacers and Milwaukee playing. I think Giannis is trying to play tonight. Then we got Minnesota and Phoenix playing right now. Phoenix is up by Minnesota took the first game. Your boy Ant-Man is looking special, man. If people haven't noticed already.
To go back, Giannis is not playing tonight.
Oh, he's not?
He's still out, yep.
Oh, so hopefully
Chris Middleton left the game as well. But it's like
hopefully Pacers, back. Yeah, hopefully Pacers can take advantage of this, man.
Yeah, you have to.
But Minnesota's up 1-0 on Phoenix. I ain't gonna lie, man. This Phoenix team is trash, man.
Has there like ever been more hype about a team that probably gonna lose in the first round and no one's gonna be surprised?
You know what's crazy? Like, I feel like people don't even talk about them. After they lose, like people like won't even realize they lost.
Nope. No, it's crazy. It's crazy. Like I've never seen a team with like. The players that this team has, you know, Beal, Durant, and Booker, and Nurkic, and they got like a really good. It seems like would be a really good team, mm-hmm. But yeah, like they're sixth seed. Like I said, they got pounded by Minnesota game one, and yeah, like I said, no one even cares. It's just like yeah, makes sense. It's really strange.
Well, I don't know, man. Maybe. People just don't like Durant.
I don't know, but if this was the Lakers and the Lakers were like the sixth seed and were getting blown out by Minnesota, people would be like all up in arms, right? Like, oh, how is LeBron letting this happen and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, maybe it's just Durant's, you know, kind of aura is a little, you know, more relaxed and calm. So when they lose, it's like, that's all right.
Well, I think people still don't respect Durant just because he hasn't won without Steph Curry. And Steph Curry has multiple times. I don't know why he left Golden State, but hey, he wanted to do it on his own. This is his, what, third team or second team since? So, I mean, maybe he might request another trade by the end of the season then, in the offseason.
Yeah, yep.
Then we got the Cavs versus the Magic in the East. These are up 2-0. Magic team just not experienced yet. And I think Cleveland's going to steamroll them, unfortunately.
Yeah, that and you know, I feel like this happens with these young teams sometimes too, right? Like first time in the playoffs, you got, you know, Banchero. It's a different game, and I think it can take these guys a year or two to kind of figure that out. It happened with the Celtics and Tatum and Brown, and it happened with Ant-Man and this crew. So. And it happened with Denver and OKC. It seems like it happens with every one of these teams that comes in. So yeah, I agree. I think Cleveland probably rolls a series. But yeah, I think it's good for Banchero and Wagner and all them to get this under their belt.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's the first year. I mean, no, I don't think anybody really had them getting into the playoffs so soon. I mean, they got a real young team, a bunch of young parts. So, you know, like you said, hopefully this springboard them to be consistent and be in the playoffs. Looking forward to seeing if they can do that.
Yep.
Dude, we got your Celtics, man, up one zip on the Heat. I know y'all was a little nervous before the match, before the game, man, but how you feeling, man?
I don't think you should take these guys lightly, but they're not the same without Jimmy Butler, obviously. You kind of can shut Harrow down and save for like a late run there in the fourth quarter. I think the Celtics had it in hand pretty much the whole game. I'm still not willing to rule out, Spoelstra and that team. He's the best coach in the league. He gets the most out of his players, and they still have this scary, vibe to me. But Celtics do what they're supposed to do. They should clean up and take care of business. And you can see they're singularly focused on winning a title. Kind of hear it in their comments and all that. And Caleb Martin poking the bear probably isn't good for Miami either. So they just need to be, they just need to stay healthy. I mean, be good, stay healthy, and get it done.
Oh yeah, should be a quick sweep for you guys. And you guys are just gonna have to worry about this. Pretty much Cleveland. That's what it's looking like. Which should be a better matchup. Honestly, I feel like it's gonna be the same. Probably maybe another sweep for you against Cleveland as well. So
I don't know. Max Strus scares me for some reason too. He shouldn't, but when he gets hot, it's like everything goes in.
I don't know, man. Because anytime I put him in the parlay, man, he just ain't do nothing. Man. I don't want to.
I know.
I had him for like 2 threes one night. He was like 0-for-6. And then one night I was like, all right, I'm not going to bet on him. And then he went like, he had like 6 threes. I was like, oh, great, of course.
It's the one time you don't bet on him.
Yeah. Then we got the Knicks up 2-zip on Philly.
How you feeling?
I mean, I'm feeling good, man. Despite Jalen Brunson not having the best games, first two games, the other role players have been stepping up. Josh Hart's been playing out of his mind. I mean, we got the bigs, between Robinson and what's his name?
Hockenstein?
Yeah, Hockenstein to guard Embiid. I mean, just them not really doing too much, but doing all they can. But I think we're in a good spot, man. Despite Embiid going off and Maxey going off. I mean, it seems like it's still not enough for them. So.
Mm-hmm.
Series really don't start till game three. So, if we're able to go in there and win one, feel a lot more comfortable. So,
yeah. Yep.
Then on the West side, we got OKC versus the Pelicans, two young teams going at it. I don't know, man. I feel like OKC just got too much talent for the Pelicans.
I think so.
I feel like the Pelicans, they got too many guys that are inconsistent. Or the BBI or CJ, mm-hmm. and then Zion in and out of the lineup. They got to figure something. They need a point guard, man.
you don't like Alvarado?
Nah, man. They need a point guard, man. I mean, I like him. He plays defense, but they need a point guard.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I do like OKC quite a bit. I think they can beat you many different ways, and defensively they're stout. So yeah, I think that they handle business with Pelicans here, and then it would be who's the 4-5 in the West?
Dallas with the Clippers, Dallas, man.
Dallas Clippers.
So I think that's where their real test is going to come.
Yep.
I'm interested to see how this series plays out for Dallas and the Clippers. And Luka was the one that beat the Clippers last year, so. He's not really afraid of them. Kawhi is playing tonight, I believe. They said they showed him coming in, but
yeah.
I mean, Dallas is weird though. They've been struggling. They haven't really lived up to expectations. But I felt like a lot of people put a lot of expectations on Luka with him not really having too much help. He did have Jalen Brunson last year, but, you know, they decided to go in another direction. They went ahead and got Kyrie. So, but I don't know, man. I feel like the Clippers should advance based off of they got like five All Stars on that team. So,
yeah, I think it depends on what Luka does too, right? Luka could take over a game, take over a series, but he's gonna need some help at some point from Kyrie and some of the role players on the team. But yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, Kawhi back. You got Paul George has probably had one of the best seasons he's had in a very long time. Actually, Russell Westbrook played pretty good coming off the bench. Mm-hmm. James Harden looks like, you know, a motivated James Harden. So it'll just be interesting with Kawhi back and how does that team look as a whole, right? So
yeah.
I think big game for Dallas tonight. You know, if they can come back and win this one, and then, you know, think that what is they go back to Los Angeles next? Back to Dallas. If the Mavs can steal one here in Los Angeles and then go back to Dallas, you know, I think that it kind of changes the whole outlook on the series.
Yep. And then we got Denver and the Lakers. Unfortunately, he was over for the Lakers, man. Uh-huh. I mean, Denver has had their number for the past 2 years. Just when you think the Lakers are going to win the game, Denver comes back and they do what they need to do, man. The Joker is relentless down there in the post. He don't care who's down there. He's going to try to get his points, assists, rebounds, and all those other pieces. They know how to play their roles well. So,
yep.
He just does what he needs to do, man. Despite Murray doesn't have a good game. The joke is he's just too consistent with almost a triple double every game, man.
Yeah, he's crazy.
And he doesn't even look like like an NBA player, man. Just looks like
it's kind of funny.
I can't even describe what he looks like, man. But he gets that ball, he's dribbling up court, dishing dimes, and he's getting into the post and he's putting people to work in a blender, man.
He is.
So I'm interested to see them in the next round because they're probably going to get the Suns or the T Wolves. So probably the T Wolves, man. The Suns don't have Suns. So
yeah,
should be a good matchup though because them and the T Wolves were going back and forth this year.
They were.
And then on to MLB. I mean, some teams got hot, teams got cold. Some teams stay the same.
We got a long way to go, my friend.
Yeah. I mean, we're about 20 games in. Yankees still up there. Orioles got them by a game. It's not unexpected, man. Yeah, I think Yankees just need to keep pace with some of these other teams as they go through their hot and cold spell. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's Major League Baseball. You can't win the World Series in the first month, but you can certainly put yourself in a bad position. Yankees, Orioles, actually the whole AL East for the most part is kind of doing what you need to do. Again, you got the Guardians playing well out in the Central. You got the disaster of a White Sox organization at 3-19, and then the West is kind of a crapshoot. Astros aren't really playing that well, and the defending champion Rangers are at the top, but not by. Then you got over in the National League. I think everyone kind of expected this, but the Braves sitting atop the East.
Yep.
Phillies, I think they played well down the stretch last year and kind of rolled that over. I'd say a surprise, maybe the Cubs again. Younger team. They're sitting, one game back right now. The Brewers and the Reds and Pirates both playing well, too. The Central's and the NL's solid. It's like somewhat of the AL East. But then, yeah, you got the Dodgers, Padres, Diamondbacks, Giants, all within a couple games of each other out in the West, and the sad sack Rockies again, down in last place.
Yeah, man.
So long season. It's a long season. I don't know about you. Nothing's really stood out to me as far as players yet this year. I think Ohtani's off to a good start for the Dodgers. Other than that, I don't think, you know, not too much has really jumped out to me yet to start the year.
Yeah, like you said, nothing really jumped out. Usual suspects are right where they need to be. No major injuries yet.
Well, a lot of pitching injuries, but we touched on that previously.
Yeah, but not major. Like, I don't think there's anybody like out for the season yet. So,
well, yeah, you got Spencer Strider's out for the Braves, who's their ace. Shane Bieber's out for Cleveland, he was their ace.
Those guys are out for the season.
What's that?
Those guys are out for the season.
Out for the season, yeah.
Oh damn.
Tommy John's out for the season. The kid in Florida. Not a great team, but I forget his name, Suarez. He's gone for Tommy John. So the Tommy John thing is an issue for sure. You got Garrett Cole still on IL. We'll see what happens there, but he may be right behind these guys. If everything doesn't heal up here in a couple months. So
yeah. But hopefully that doesn't hinder them from
You gotta stay healthy.
Yeah. We got NHL in playoff form in playoffs right now. Got some interesting matchups. I know you're a little nervous because you guys had the Leafs. Bruins had the Leafs. You guys are 1-1 right now. How you feeling, man?
Not as good as I felt, a couple days ago. Obviously, going from 1-0 to 1-1 isn't great. The Bruins made a lot of mistakes in their own end. Defense was not great, and they had plenty of chances to bury Toronto, and they didn't do it. So I think, we'll see what happens in Game 3, but they need to play better on both ends of the ice and not give Austin Matthews, who scored 69 goals this year, wide-open shots at the net.
Oh, yeah.
I can assure you that's not a good strategy.
No. Yeah, you can't let the leading scorer of the leading scorers of the year go buck wild on you. So
no, you
can't. Definitely got to change up that game plan. But I mean, you guys were in the past 2 years, you guys were up there for one of the top teams in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Who else did you guys last year?
Florida.
Oh yeah, they got hot. I mean. These matchups in the NHL playoffs are pretty tough. There's a lot of good teams.
They're tough, man. It's tough.
I mean, we got my Rangers one up, one zip, up on these Capitals. Hopefully, they take care of business, man. I don't think Capitals can give them too much issues. But I think that next round, whether they play the Hurricanes or the, they might be playing the Panthers, man. That's gonna be a matchup.
Yeah. Yep.
And then on the west side, I mean, you got the Jets up one zip on the Avalanche. Canucks are up on the Predators. Knights are up on the Stars. Oilers are up on the Kings. I mean, I feel like the West isn't as stacked as the East, man. But
no, I don't think so.
I feel like there's more dangerous teams in the East, but you never know with one of these West teams, the Oilers or the Avalanche, to get pretty hot.
Yep.
Because those two teams are pretty dangerous.
Yep, nope, definitely agree.
And I think that's it for our NHL. Then we got that's really NCAA. Just people in the transfer portal. WNBA season kicking off in about 2 weeks. Kicking off on that Friday game with the Indiana Fever. I'm gonna be interested to see the ratings on that game come that Monday.
Yeah,
I will too. So hopefully it's a good game too. So
yeah, I'm interested to see how that all rolls out.
Then we had PGA. We had the we didn't really talk about the Masters, right?
Nope, we did not. So we had the Masters finish up a couple weeks ago. Scottie Scheffler taking it home. Wasn't really in doubt down the stretch. I think couple tough days to start Thursday and Friday. It's pretty windy. Made for a tough course. Saturday. Still, tough, and Sunday everything dried out, and Yeah, it was just played as a really hard course. But yeah, you know, I think they were tied. Going, Scotty was going into the eighth hole, and he almost stuffed one for an eagle on nine, birdied 10, and then a couple of guys put it in the water on 11, and that was I think he left 11 at like a Max Homa had a little bad luck on 12 and knocked one too long and got stuck under a bush. So by the time Scotty was walking to the 11th green, I think he was back in the lead by like three or four. Yeah, it's pretty much over with him. He doesn't really make many mistakes. And if he does make a mistake, it's he minimizes the damage. So, yeah. And then, you know, coming off of that, flies home to his wife, hangs out for a day, comes back and wins again. The RBC Heritage, which was an elevated event. So he's made something like $15 million in winnings over the last 5 weeks. Our last five tournaments he's played, which is insane. And I think his last five, he's got last five starts. He's got five wins and a T2. And then a T2, he had a putt to tie the leader on 18 to go to a playoff. So, yeah, the guy's, you know, he's the whole golf world is kind of talking about it, but he's on top of his game. He's cool. He's collected. I don't know. He's like a machine right now.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't really seen anything like that since, you know, Tiger probably, you know, Tiger did it a few times, but 2008, 2000, 2005, 2001. Mm-hmm. So it's different though. 'Cause Tiger was like maniacal and like, you know, didn't want to talk to anybody. It was like, you know, I think Scotty's a little different. He's a little more, humble is the right word, but he's a little more, you know, I would say emotionally stable and kind of, going about it, goes about it a different way than Tiger did.
Yeah. I don't think anybody, will ever do what Tiger did, during that time period, man. But I mean, it's good to see, but that's the thing. We haven't really seen anybody dominate like that on like consecutive events or get like streaks like that going. And I think when they start doing that, it's good for the sport.
It is. Yeah. It definitely gives people a reason to tune in. And if you look at the LPGA, Nellie Korda is kind of doing the same thing. She's won five starts, you know, crazy. 'Cause I think they said the most wins in on an LPGA tour season is five. You know, she's kind of doing similar things to Scotty over there on the LPGA tour.
Oh yeah, and then what isn't there another one coming up soon? May 2nd.
So this week we have the Zurich Classic. That's the team event. So you got the people who have entered. It's kind of like it's more of an off week, but. Kind of cool that it's a little bit of a team event. So they play a little best ball. And then what do we have? We have next week is, I forget.
I know it's AT&T one. And then
we got the Wells Fargo, TPC Myrtle Beach, for those that aren't playing the Wells Fargo. And then we got the PGA Championship at Valhalla, which is up by you. On May 19th, the weekend. That weekend, May 16th to 19th, I think. So yeah, Zurich, and then next week is the CJ Cup, Byron Nelson. It's in Dallas, and then they have the Myrtle Beach Classic and the Wells Fargo. The Wells Fargo is the signature event, here in Charlotte, and then they go right from there to Louisville for the PGA.
So there's
golf, a bit. Golf season heating up.
Yeah, busy month, man.
Oh yeah, it's pretty much it's pretty busy from here out through, I would say the Open Championship, and then it kind of cools off for a few weeks until you get to the playoffs. So you know, pretty much you're gonna have pretty good golf from here till September now.
Definitely looking forward to watch, man.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
It's that time again, ladies and gentlemen. We got another edition of JD's Bites and Brew. What you got for us?
All right, so this week, kept it real simple. Had been doing a lot of traveling for work and whatnot, so it's just a healthy version of beef fried rice. So do a little bit of the 93.7 hamburg, go 96.4 if you want. Add some rice, you know, cook the beef first, you know, drain it, then add your rice in, cooked rice in. Add some seasoning. You can kind of use, you know, what you want. They have some fried rice seasonings you can use. Add some teriyaki, some soy sauce. Put that all together. If you want, you know, you can also put some onion in here too. But yeah, that's really it. And then at the end, you can chop up some broccoli, some scallions. Throw those in there, and then add a little bit of sauce on top. You know, you can use the yum yum sauce or hoisin sauce. So, you know, whatever you prefer.
I ain't gonna lie, man. I don't think yum yum sauce is all that, man.
Some people love it. I like it. I like it more like the hibachi. I don't know why, but yeah, I don't keep it here at home, but you know, people definitely do love it.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm not a huge fan of the yum yum sauce, yeah. So I normally skip on that. And then what would you drink that down with?
All right, so last week I was up in near Allentown, Pennsylvania. So popped over to a local place called McCall Collective Brewing Company. They actually have two places, one in Allentown and one down the street. I forget the other name of the town, but anyway, it's a little brewery. They actually had quite a variety of beers. I tried a couple of them, but the one that I liked the most was it's called Hidden Dingers Blackberry Lime. So it's their sour, fruited sour. Again, blackberry, lime flavors, you know, I thought it was extremely good. It was light. It was refreshing. It was exactly what you would think like a blackberry lime drink would taste. So yeah, thoroughly enjoyed it. Not really much else to say about it. You know, it was smooth. I think it came in at 6%. So yeah, I'd give it a 8.1.
Oh, snap. It's a banger right there.
It was good.
Do you feel like it would have been better frozen?
I don't really love frozen drinks personally. I think they're like filling. So, oh, but if you like frozen drinks, yeah, this would have been like a you ever have like the blackberry lemonades or the blueberry lemonade, something like that.
Yeah,
it kind of reminded me of that. But obviously with the lime flavor. But yeah, if you like frozen drinks, yeah, I think this would be a good one to have.
I ain't gonna lie, man. I went to Texas Roadhouse the other day. Mm-hmm. And I tried to, it was like a cherry lemonade. That was off the chain, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was off the chain, man. Gonna definitely have to pick up a gallon of that and start mixing out some stuff, see how it comes out. That could be a potential sleeper right there, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then it's JD's Bites and Brew, everybody. And then for the BRRs, we really don't got much. Trying to get back in the swing of things. Still still watching Shogun. Good show. I think they're going to be on the season finale next week. Probably on episode like 6. I think they did 10 episodes for the first season. So got a lot to catch up to do. Ended up watching on Netflix. Jennifer did or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a docuseries about this girl named Jennifer who I don't want me to tell you or
I watched.
Yeah, so she.
I'm not gonna lie. I was a little bit bored. It looked like she was responsible for, in my mind, the death of her. Was her dad?
Well, no, her. She did some stuff and tried to get her parents whacked.
That's right. That's right.
Got the mom whacked. The dad survived and told.
The dad survived. Yeah.
Yep. So. I thought it was funny, like, man.
Her story is just like so bad.
Yeah, that's what's funny. Like when they be in the interview room and they're asking her questions, and they're like, "Oh, she's like, yeah, I was tied up, and then I used the phone to call 911 while I was tied up."
Like, how'd you use the phone while you were tied up?
Yeah, he's like, "Show me, show me." Like, no, you can't do that. What are you doing? The whole time, I'm like, lawyer, lawyer, lawyer.
Yeah, seriously.
What are you doing, lawyer? They always went as a lawyer. Like, what are you doing?
She like didn't show any emotion. She was like, yeah, you know, was tied up. Called 911. Yeah, it was really weird. You know, I kind of, you know, lost a little bit of interest when it was like clearly she had something to do.
Oh yeah, but then outside of that, it wasn't really much else, man.
You watch that the baby reindeer?
Nah, yeah, I started it, but I didn't really, I like barely started it.
Okay.
I know, I'm trying to watch Fallout.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good series. Got a few episodes left. Other than that, it wasn't really much else I got a chance to really watch. Definitely looking forward to Game of Thrones and Mayor of Kingstown and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So, be watching that in the movie room.
There you go.
I don't know if there's anything else you guys started watching.
Yeah, just the baby reindeer. That's about it. I watched the girl that got kidnapped twice, multiple times.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, that one. I think we finished. It was strange.
What was that one called?
It was called Family. What was it called? It was called Kidnapping Club. Friend of the Family.
Okay. So make sure to add that to the list.
Yeah, it's a weird one.
But I ain't gonna lie, I feel like these like docuseries, movies, and TV shows been hitting lately.
I like the docuseries. I like the short ones. You know, 4 to 6 episodes, kind of keeps you engaged. Yeah, I like them.
But some of these stories be crazy, man. I can't believe people was getting off with this. Like some of the stuff they were trying to pull. Like they're trying to get away with like certain types of murders or robberies or stuff like that. Like I don't know if you told me or somebody was telling me, like there was a lady who went to the bank with a dead guy and was trying to withdraw money, but the guy was dead.
No, I didn't hear about that one.
Yeah, she was like at the bank with the dead guy. Oh, and he was like in a wheelchair and she was like trying to like move his like body parts like a ventriloquist so she can withdraw.
That's some Weekend at Bernie shit right there.
Yeah. It was crazy, man. I was watching the video like, what? Yeah, it's crazy out here, man.
Oh, yeah.
And that's pretty much it, ladies and gentlemen.
That's all I got.
Till next time.
Till next time, Rich.
I want to thank y'all for rocking out here on the Sports Sidebar Podcast. Give y'all something to ride out on.